Now, it was that unsung heroine's turn to speak. Sat at the central table, with Grossman by her side and Majid and Marvel opposite her, Catherine was the first to give evidence. Though she wanted desperately to come across as strong, her voice, projecting through her battered mouth, betrayed her. The papers commented on her weak and muffled voice, which was faltering and barely audible even to her friends who sat in a circle behind her chair. But speak she did, describing her work, the way the powder covered the girls all over and made them glow, the practice of lip pointing. "That's the way this terrible poison got into our systems," she cried. "We never even knew it was harmful." Grossman gave her an encouraging smile. She was doing brilliantly. While Catherine took a quick drink of water, her lawyer now introduced into evidence the deceitful full-page advert that Radium Dial had printed in the local paper. "Objection," said Majid, rising, but George Marvel allowed it to stand. "After those New Jersey people died from radium poisoning in 1928, Catherine continued, "we began to get alarmed. But shortly after that, Mr. Reed called our attention to this advertisement. He said we did not have to worry." Marvel nodded slowly, taking notes and reviewing every word of the controversial notice. Catherine kept on with her testimony, looking over her shoulder at her friends, who sat in a row, listening intently to her speak. "After Miss Marie Rossiter and I had been examined the first time," she recalled, turning back to face the judge, "we wanted to know why we didn't get our reports. Mr. Reed said to us, 'My dear girls, if we ever give a medical report to you, there will be a riot in this place.' Neither of us then realised what he meant." But they did now. As Catherine described the encounter in court, Marie paled at her words. "Oh," she cried aloud, the implication of her manager's words sinking in. "That is the Mr. Reed," Catherine added pointedly to the judge, "who is still with the company in New York." The papers had found him there, overseeing the dial-painting girls. He had assumed responsibility for the operation, which could well have been a promotion, since the New York plant was far more prestigious than the one in Ottawa. The company, it seemed, rewarded loyalty from its employees. There was a disturbance then, as the chief security examiner of the commission came rushing into the room, bringing documents that Grossman had subpoenaed. The lawyer quickly flicked through the files. He could see at once that the girls' test results from 1925 and 1928 were not included. There were, however, some letters of especial interest. Kelly, the president of Radium Dial, had written to the Illinois Industrial Commission in 1928. "We have not been successful in obtaining compensation insurance since the cancellation of our policy on August 18, 1928. In view of the publicity given the so-called radium poisoning cases of the United States Radium Corporation of New York, the insurance company decided they did not care to carry the insurance any longer and incur the risk of our having such cases at our plant in Ottawa, Illinois." Kelly had applied to 10 different insurance firms. All had turned him down. "You can readily see," Kelly continued, "that it makes it rather an unfortunate situation for us. Can you advise us how we may obtain protection? Does the state of Illinois have any compensation insurance?"